say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Grab your Bible, all right? Turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 10. The topic, the issue is indifference. Indifference means unconcernedness. Indifference means unconcernedness. It's a state of mind when it feels no anxiety or interest in what is presented to it. One lady said, speaking about people that were around her, I'm not angry to see you. I'm not sad to see you. I'm not even happy to see you. I just don't care if I see you at all. You don't even ripple. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? I'm not angry to see you. I'm not sad to see you. I'm not even happy to see you. I just don't care if I see you. You don't even ripple. That is indifference. Sad thought to think that maybe even inside of our own congregation, there is a lot of indifference to people. You're not glad to see them at church today. You're not angry. You certainly aren't sad. They don't even ripple. If they're there, it doesn't matter. If they're not here, it doesn't matter, because you just don't even give them a thought. A guy named William Arthur Ward wrote this statement regarding freedom. He said, the enemies of freedom are these things. Number one, waste. Enemies of freedom are waste. Number two, lethargy or laziness. Number three, indifference. Number four, immorality. These all sound like problems we have in America today, doesn't it? The enemies of freedom. Number one, waste. Two, lethargy. Three, indifference. Four, immorality. And here's number five. You'll say, we have this one too. The insidious attitude of expecting something for nothing. Yeah. Enemies of freedom. Waste, lethargy, indifference, immorality, and expecting something for nothing. A guy named William Osler said, by far the most dangerous foe that we have to fight is apathy. Indifference from whatever cause, not from a lack of knowledge, but from carelessness or from absorption in other pursuits, from a contempt bred of self-satisfaction. A man named Edmund Burke said this, nothing is so fatal to religion as indifference. Nothing is so fatal. Nothing will kill religion, true religion. Nothing is more fatal to religion than indifference. Don't care about the guy or the woman across the street. It's not that you're mad at your coworker or sad when you see them. It's not even that you're happy to see them. It's just that you don't really care. You don't really care if the neighbor across the street goes to heaven or hell. You don't really care whether they get to hear the message of the gospel. It's indifference. Churches fall apart because of indifference toward each other. And the truth is that in what we understand in our culture, is there is this thing that is called the bystander effect. And it goes like this. The bystander effect, or bystander apathy, is a social psychological phenomenon that refers to cases in which individuals do not offer any means of help to a victim when other people are present. The probability of help is inversely related to the number of bystanders. In other words, the more people that are there, the more likely that they're going to be a bystander. Matter of fact, one of the stories that shook up our country years ago in the 1960s was a lady by the name of Kitty Genovese, who lived in New York. Many of you have probably heard about her. She was severely attacked over the span of about a half hour, and the initial reports, and they're still debating whether the numbers were accurate, but the initial reports were that 38 people were witnesses in one way or another of her being attacked, and none of them stepped in to help, and none of them called the police to get assistance until after the attack was over. Now, there are debates about whether there were 38 or how many there was, but let's just say if there was 20 people witnessing a lady being attacked, or 25, would that be any less appalling to us? That, and the more people, see, watch, the more Bible Baptist Church continues to grow and is blessed by God in that manner, the more likely it is, because of the bystander effect, that people are going to come in these doors and go out these doors without someone caring. In fact, the report goes on to say, in other words, the greater the number of bystanders, the less likely it is that any one of them will help. The more people that you have in a congregation, is it a bad thing for a church to grow? Absolutely not. What do you want to do? Put up a sign out front of our property and just say, no more room, sorry, we cannot help any more people get to heaven. Anybody want to do that? We're out of room for you. We would like to get to know you, we'd like to care about you, but I'm sorry, we're full. No, we don't want that at all. But the truth is that many times we not trying to care about people, we actually let people slip right through here. Because somebody else will care about them, or some preacher, the preacher will care about them, or the staff, that's what we pay them for, or the secretaries, or the friendly older people will care about them, or the teenagers should care about them. In the book of Acts chapter number 10, I would like for you to look there with me if you would. It's a story about a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius, in his area of the world, in fact, in Caesarea, he was a centurion, over 100 people, and he was of the band, verse number 1, that's called the Italian band. He was a devout man. Just because he was from another country, it doesn't mean that he didn't care about God. It's so easy for us to think, well, those people, they're not from our area, they're not of our stripe, they're not from our nation, they're not from our people, they're not from my neighborhood, I'm not related to them, I don't know you, you're not famous, who cares about you? But this guy was from a long way away from Peter, and he was in his area, he was somewhat known, but to Peter and to the apostles, he was an unknown. He was, however, a devout, that means he was a faithful man, and he was a man that feared God. He may not have been in the same terms exactly of how we would understand it or word it, but he was a person, a man that feared God. In fact, his house, his people, his family feared God. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to people. He would help people. He didn't understand all this concept of bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He didn't understand all that stuff in the context that the Jewish people understood it, because they were given the law and the commands of God very clearly. But we see he was faithful, and not just him, but his family, they feared God, and they gave to help people, and they prayed. He prayed to God always. He was a praying machine. Verse number 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Like, here's what you need to do, Cornelius. Your prayers have been coming up here, and you've been wanting to know what to do, and I got a plan for you. You need to send some people over to Joppa. Joppa was a seaport city up along the Mediterranean in the land of Israel. He's like, you need to send some people over to Joppa. And there's a guy, he's staying down by the seashore right now. His name is Peter. And if you send some people over there and you can get a hold of him. He will tell you what you ought to do. Well, in verse number 7, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier with them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So picture number 1 that we get is God working in the life of a person, of a guy, not just one individual, but in the life of his whole family. God was working in his life. He just doesn't have all the information like Peter has information. And so what needs to take place is the person who is interested in serving God, that he would come in contact with a guy that knew what to do, even though they were from great distances apart. And so in verse number 9, what God has to do is he has to work on the believer by the name of Peter. Peter was an apostle. Peter was the guy who preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. He didn't know who Cornelius was. He'd never met him. He had never been, as far as we know, to Caesarea. How would he know anything about this guy? And yet, it was God's purpose that they would come in contact with each other. And when they came in contact with each other, that Peter would care. That Peter would care. Right. See, in every day throughout life, we go about our business and we come in contact with people. And if we're honest and open, we would admit that in our culture, indifference runs rampant. Right. Not that I hate you. It's not that I'm sad to see you. I don't care about you. Sherry needed to stop by the, I call it Big Bob's, but it's Jungle Gyms down at Eastgate. And it was a very unique situation. And so she went in and she gave me the call. I was waiting in the car. We had some stuff that needed to stay cool. And so I was in the truck actually with the air conditioning on. And here she comes out and I pulled up and I stopped in front of Jungle Gyms. It's a true story. And she's like, look at this. What's going on? Because we've been watching, keeping our eyes on this Pokemon thing and these people walking around with their phones trying to find Pokemon. And it wasn't all a bunch of people walking around trying to find Pokemon. But everybody almost was on their cell phone. There were people seated all up in front of there. I'd never seen so many people sitting in front of Jungle Gyms. Matter of fact, I started looking around and there's people walking and there's people coming out of the store and people sitting down. This is the honest truth. I started counting. 17 out of 19 people were on their cell phone. 17 out of 19. Indifferent to anybody around them. Not really that in touch with what was going on around them in the world. Not interested in talking to each other really much anymore, are we? We pass each other at the store, on the street. It's not that we're mad or sad or happy. We just don't care. We go to the restaurant. And we have a few people in our congregation that are extremely concerned about the folks at restaurants. But mainly, we go in and we just really don't care. I don't hate you. I just don't care about you. They're not related to us. They're not somebody famous. They have never done anything for us, nor will they ever do anything probably for us. And as far as we're concerned, we're going to pass them in a moment of time. And then we're probably never going to see them again, or we won't see them often enough to even care. And so God's got this problem, see, because here's this man in Caesarea named Cornelius, and he really needs to know what Peter knows. But Peter, see, Peter is a Jew, and the Jews, they had taken the commands of God, which was a command of separation, but they had even pressed that beyond what God's commands intended. And sometimes you find that the Jews had become so separate that they were not caring about people like they should be. We can look at the Jews and we can go, well, look at them. But the truth is we're kind of that way too. In fact, maybe we're a little worse. See, the point of all these illustrations is that we're pretty indifferent too. And so God has a problem that Peter is not naturally going to care about this man. God's already been working, see, because he's already been talking to Cornelius, and it took several days, obviously, for those guys to get over to where Peter was. But God's got to prepare Peter, too, because he needs to be ready to deliver the information. The problem is that Peter just has these walls up, even though he doesn't do it intentionally, and God has to show him a truth. Verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh or near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, about noon. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and it let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, this is a problem for a Jewish person, because he's been told from a child very specifically what you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. And he knows that on this sheet, he goes into a trance and he sees this vision. He knows that there are animals on here that he has been strictly forbidden to eat. In fact, the words come, verse 13, and there came a voice to him, and here's what it said. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, the second time. Now watch these words in verse 15. What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. What God has cleansed, God's like, don't you call it common. Now common, if you took the time to look up the word in the dictionary, is a very interesting word. It has several definitions. One means usual, ordinary, as of the common operations of nature. But it also means this. A person who is of no rank, superiority, or excellence. You're not excellent at anything. You're not superior at anything. And I've never heard of you. You're common. Applied to men, it signifies not noble, not distinguished by noble descent. You're not related to anybody famous. You're not famous. You're not related to anybody famous. And you don't have a distinguished office. You've never done anything important. Your character doesn't stand out in the neighborhood, nor have I ever heard of you because of your talent. As a common man. See, in this issue about the sheep coming down and the animals, God's addressing an attitude that he has. It's an attitude that a lot of us have. You're nothing to me. You're not famous. You have no talents that make you stand out. Your character, you're not known in the neighborhood. You're not from a well-known family. Why would I care about you? In fact, if anything, when they show up from Caesarea, the natural response is, Peter's going to have is, you're not one of us. You're not just not from our neighborhood, you're from a different country. And see, the problem is that we will never do ministry right until God makes an adjustment in our heart and in our attitude. And he said to Peter, what God has cleansed, don't you dare call that common, unimportant. Normal. Something not worth really noticing. The old statement goes like this. Ready? Ready for it? Love will find a way, but indifference will find an excuse. Love will find a way, but indifference will find an excuse. See, and the great problem with indifference is it always has an excuse as to why it won't do the right thing, or why it doesn't care, or why it won't sacrifice to help other people. Because indifference always finds excuses. But love will find a way. Why do you parents do so many things for your kids and grandkids? Because you love them. And when they're hurting and struggling and having difficulty, you always seem to find a way to help or to come through because you love them. And our circle of love sometimes is so small that we can't even influence the world for Jesus Christ. Sometimes our circle of concern and love is so small, we can't even impact our own town right. We drive past these kids every day playing on the streets. We pass their moms and dads as they work in different businesses around town. We pass them at school and nobody seems to care. It's not that we hate them. It's not that we're sad to see them. We just don't care. And until we go from indifference to love, we will never make a difference in our area, in our town, in our neighborhood. Amen. In verse number 15, And the boy spake unto him again a second time, what God has cleansed, call not thou common. This was done thrice, three times, he said. Quit calling things that I've cleaned up common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And now, while Peter doubted in himself, he's like, what in the world was this all about? Some of you guys are even wondering, what in the world is this message about? I come to church, and this preacher is ranting and raving about our indifference to people. And you aren't even able to figure out this morning what this is all about. It's not making any sense to you. But what's going to happen is, God's going to send somebody past your front door. Or he's going to run them across your face in a restaurant or at work or at school. And until you care, you're never going to make a difference in their life. Peter's doubting, what this all about? This sheet vision and all these animals and don't call anything common that I've cleansed. What is this all about? And he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. And behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. What's this all about? What's the vision about? What could this possibly mean? How does it apply to me? How does this message apply to you? And at the very moment that you're wondering, somebody's standing at your front gate that needs what you know, that needs what you have in Jesus Christ. They stood before the gate, verse 17, verse 18, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting what? For I have sent them. Get down with them? Go down to see them? Go with them? What are you talking about? Go with them. Wait a minute. Just hang on a second, Lord. Because I'm just telling you, I'm just sitting here trying to figure this whole thing out, how this applies to me and what you're trying to teach me through this thing. And now guys are knocking at my door and you're telling me, pack up my stuff and go to Caesarea with them. God's like, that's right. Because I sent them to you. I know most all these teenagers that are here, and God sent them here this morning to get something. He sent you here this morning to get something. You think you're just here hanging out, having a party? This don't look like a party to me. Does it look like a party to you? What we're doing is we're listening to God. And what God's trying to do is he's trying to get the attention of some of our congregation, because there's going to be some people knocking at your gate and they need to know about Jesus Christ, and you're the one to help them. Not me, you. You're going to be the one with the opportunity. You're going to be the one with the connections. You're going to be the one that God sent them to you. And you got to be willing to help. And love will find a way. But when they show up in your life, if you don't care, you're going to miss it. And the one person in the world that God was planning and wanting to use to change their life, you, if you don't care, you're going to miss it. Don't miss it.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in all why you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die. One thing I know is true.
apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you.
Jesus, there ain't no